This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
News and views from the dole queues.
Fighting back against the poverty machine. Breadline is broadcast from the stolen unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people. The unfairness of the so-called welfare system disproportionately affects Indigenous people.
Down with mutual obligations.
Raise the rate. Fair and equal treatment for all.
Yes, this is Breadline. On again. Your presenter today is Hank, alternating with Jessica, who always puts on a good show and was on last week. This week on Breadline, the topics will be, we'll have some speeches from the NDIS rally in defence of services to disabled people that are planned to be cut by not-so-friendly friends in power. And we'll also maybe have a look at, I'll just mention the Big Lean, which is on tomorrow night. I'll talk about that a bit more later. And also we'll, a topic that we always like to cover and is important to cover on the Breadline show, which is, of course, for unemployed people. By unemployed people is the job network providers or so-called providers. We call them job network parasites. We had a little discussion. I had a discussion earlier, which I recorded with Jessica about that, and we'll be doing that. And if I have time, we'll look at some dole hacks. We're calling them dole hacks, how to live on the dole. But I'm not sure if we'll have time for that, but we'll try our very best to fit all that in. But first, you may well know, if you listen to 3CR radio, you probably do know that because there was an outside broadcast from the rally in defence of people who require support, disabled people who get services through NDIS, which is going to be cut. I have a little text here that I want to introduce it with, which is by a person called Rebel Diaz. And it goes the following. It says, cuts kill, disability justice equals smash the colonial state. And Rebel Diaz said, the ALP and ruling class are killing disabled people through these NDIS cuts. Their cuts mean, by 2030, a whopping 300,000 of 900,000 people will lose access. As one speaker at the rally said, this colony has blood on its hands, particularly punishing and abandoning First Nations disabled people, many who are then policed by racist violence into prisons. It is no surprise the cops attacked a disability justice rally. Yes, my friends, they attacked it at the end. If you don't know about that, you can find information online about that. The state has emboldened their thugs with anti-protest and racist laws. Cops still rely on compliance, and resistance today hampered them. Skills in sticking together can help fend off future police attacks. Everything is interconnected. Record funding of police, prisons, $400 billion in imperialist submarines, to carceral medical systems are where the state directs its resources. As one speaker said, disabled mutual aid saves lives and will need to find ways to survive as eugenics here intensify. Land back anti-colonial class war liberation. And it continues. So I'll just add, you know, I mean, I saw the video of like a person, an older person on a bicycle. Cops push him over. They start attacking him. A person tries to intervene. He gets the same kind of violence used against him. The cops brazenly attacked, detained, and assaulted multiple people at the end of the Protect Our NDIS rally in so-called Melbourne, NAM. The rally was interrupted by noise throughout by the far-right Falun Gong rally, also at the State Library. Unfortunately, yes, in these speeches that will play, you can hear their Falun Gong band playing, but hopefully you can still hear the speakers well. I'll continue with this Rebel Diaz report. After the NDIS rally, speaking lineup closed, some disabled people expressed outrage as far-right MP David Limbrick was given a platform at the Falun Gong rally. At this point, cops upholding the far right attacked the disability rally for this small verbal protest for human rights, violently arresting one disabled community member. The crowd chanted, "Let her go," and "Too many coppers, not enough justice." And there's a video of that, which you can find on Facebook. A cops then attacked, pepper sprayed, and punched someone who tried to help the person on the bike. Love and rage and solidarity with all those there. That's just a little statement I thought was worth reading. And now we will go to the NDIS rally speeches, which were initially broadcast live on 3CR radio, and one of its many 3CR's many great outside broadcasts, which is a great job that 3CR always does to bring the life of the community into the public view, or at least ear. Here we are, NDIS rally speeches. Enjoy, my friends.
So Andrew is autistic and has ME/CFS. He is currently on the NDIS, so he knows exactly how important this scheme is. Andrew is also the convener of the Accessible Greens Victoria and a member of Disability Rights and Culture. Please welcome Andrew.
Hello, everyone. Just want to acknowledge everything that's happened today. I think it kind of just really highlights how we're not included in these spaces and our accessibility is not really taken seriously. So I really want to highlight that for everyone and the pain they're going through at the moment. Now, as Hannah said, I'm from the Accessible Victorian Greens. I'm also a member of Disability Rights and Culture. I kind of want to talk about my experience before getting on the NDIS and acknowledge that it is ME/CFS Awareness Day on May the 12th, and it's ME/CFS Awareness Month throughout this whole month. And we're going to be the most impacted by these cuts because the government uses our disability as a political tool rather than as something that should be supported. Before getting on the NDIS, I was experiencing homelessness. I went through a period of hospitalizations because the government believes people with my disability and long COVID deserve conversion therapy, not actual biomedical treatment. Now, we found out through an FOI that the government was paying a controversial researcher to help them kick people with my disability off the scheme. And I am very scared that that's what they're going to do with these cuts now. Now, we only found this out through an FOI that the government also wants to get rid of. Now, our symptoms cannot be captured by simplistic tick box systems or automated systems. And yet many people fear these reforms and reassessments and automated approaches will wrongly remove supports from some of the sickest people in our community. Now, these supports are not luxuries. Our supports help people eat, shower, take medications, attend medical appointments, cook, clean, and avoid dangerous isolation. What makes this especially painful is that Labor promised us something different in 2022. Now, I see a lot of EAC members out here, and I'm sure they remember the protest we went with Shorten and Labor in 2022. They promised us no cuts. They promised us less bureaucracy. And what did we get? We got Morrison cuts. We got people kicked off the system. What's changed, Labor? Are submarines more important than people? We're seeing disabled people being treated as budget problems instead of human beings. And why the government keeps talking about the budget, we're talking about our survival. Now, the removal of supports like short-term accommodation has meant people like me who only have family interstate, I got stuck here with my homelessness situation. So when I applied for NDIS, that's where I am. STR allowed me the ability to go see my family for the first time in the state over 6 years. The government removed that, and now they say I can only take short-term accommodation if it's within my area. So the burden has now been pushed back onto our families and mostly onto women, who this is mostly going to affect. The NDIS employs many women, and it also helps the women that are carrying the burden to look after us to be alleviated from that support. Labor has decided to go back on their promises. Labor keep promising that they're an ally to the disability community, yet recently they voted against our marriage equality. They said partner income tests should stay. They ignored the Disability Royal Commission. They didn't even implement 5% of the findings of the Disability Royal Commission. And, oh my God, sorry. And lastly, they promised they wouldn't cut the NDIS. They promised they'd fully fund it. They've gone back on their promises. Well, we're here to say, we're going to hold you accountable. If you don't want to help us, we're going to use our voices and vote for it. We've got the Greens here. We've got the Socialists here. We've got all our community groups here, and we will hold you accountable at the next election. Do not take us for granted.
Thank you so much. That was amazing.
Hey, Tim.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Jude is a disabled and MAD First Nations disability advocate. And she is also an NDIS participant who is at risk of harm because of these proposed reforms. We're so lucky to have them here today. Please welcome Jude.
Hello everyone. Sorry yet again about the circumstances that today ended up being. Before I do begin, I'd like to take a moment to remember and honour the lives of our disabled comrades who have been killed by inadequate access to support, both directly and indirectly, and I extend this to carers and supporters of disabled comrades at their end from burnout without support. There is blood on the hands of this colony, and Albanese, Butler and the Labor government will bear the legacy of preventable deaths of disabled people across this continent under proposed cuts. My sibling has been an NDIS participant since this pilot program, joining the theme of the young child. The NDIS refers to him as someone with significant and permanent disability. Despite this, we have had to continuously fight for the NDIS to adequately fund him. With the supports we were able to secure, he has, over time, gained movement, voice and skills that doctors told us he would never have. He is soon to be 20, and we have fought so hard for him to get funding that meets his needs as a young adult now. Funding that will allow him to develop an adult identity and independence. These cuts risk his future and all the gains he has made. NDIS and the government say the scheme is there for those with the most complex of needs. So why do we and many other families like us have to fight so hard? Why are there so many hoops for even the supposed model participant? I am also an NDIS participant. NDIS access has meant for me, for the first time in my adult life, I've been able to live independently. I've had a full year without any psychiatric admissions, and I've avoided countless unnecessary hospitalizations. For the first time in my life, I'm developing a sense of stability that I've never had, and I fear that that's going to be taken away from me again.
And do not people have a right to such stability? What kind of society do we live in where people with disabilities are not given that such support? It's obscene. And I'm sorry, I apologise about the background noise in that, which couldn't be helped, but I thought that their speeches were by the Falun Gong, unfortunately, but on the day, but I think that the speeches were worth putting up with that interference. Let's just have a station identification, shall we?
You're listening to 3CR 855 AM, the voice of the community.
3CR, community radio, giving the voice to the community since 1976.
Since 1976, 3CR. Also at 3cr.org.au, where you can listen to previous programs on the program list, and you can also listen to live streaming, as well as finding a link to subscribing and donating to 3CR, which is such an important part of the media landscape, which is sorely needed. Now, I just wanted to mention, I did say earlier that there's a thing on tomorrow called The Big Lean, and it's put on by the Homeless Persons Union Victoria. No longer the unheard voice. Yes, Tuesday, May the 12th, tomorrow, at Melbourne Town Hall, so as it's called, 5 p.m. There will, please turn up if you want to give support to the plight of the homeless people who are being criminalised by these new policies of over-policing. Instead of putting the money into providing assistance for people who need it, they instead give the money to private security firms, which harass and make life difficult for people who already need support. So, and their title of their rally is "Everyone Deserves a Right to the City." Yes, not just the rich people, not just the businesses, everybody. They're people, they've got a right to be there just as much as anybody else and not get hassled for it. So we'll have more on that. And there is a show, the Homeless People's Union are also going to have a show on 3CR, which will be well worth listening to. I think it's going to be on Monday nights at 12. But don't quote me on that. But I think that's when it is. And I was lucky enough with a friend to to do I can't find the thing now. I might come back to that. But we did the intro track today for them, but I can't, I think I'll find it here we go. and what's it called? It's called Destination Unknown. That's it. This will be the intro track to their thing, which I sing on. Oh, no, I don't sing on. I just play the guitar, and Izzy Brown does some vocals. I hope you like it.
They want to evict the squad, want to board the lot, leave the place to run. Spending community funds to keep us on the run with security guards and cops that charge in at 6 o'clock, breaking our locks with batons, torches, angle grinders, impaling our gear where we couldn't find it, taking our stuff, even bedding, heading us back to the streets, and now we're roughing it. But the homeless will unite and fight back against council corruption, development eruption of shopping malls and yuppie flats, taking over what we scavenge like rats on the loose, making use of all the things we find, like they left behind, like our homes, empty place. Now we roam, destination unknown, unknown.
Destination unknown. Yes, that's what happens when you got no home. And the lyrics there, great lyrics by Izzy Brown, which may be the track, the intro track to the new Homeless People's Union show, which will be coming soon to your fantastic station, 3CR. Now, earlier, we pre-recorded a little discussion I had with the other presenter of this program, who's Jessica, which I might play back to you, where we're talking about the job network parasites. Let's have a listen to that one, shall we, my friends?
In the old days, you could go into the CES and it was quite a straightforward thing. There were no mutual obligations for a start. And you could just walk straight in. There'd be a whole lot of job offers on the boards. So they replaced the CES with the job network of private and not-for-profit, in quotes, employment service providers on the 1st of May 1998. So a bad day for us, I'd say.
Yeah, that was. And let me mention too, because you had two government institutions, now everybody knows the Centrelink, that was called the Department of Social Security, which is where you put your form in, which is the equivalent today of... Workforce.
Yeah, or a job plan, which is sort of tied in with your eligibility for a payment.
That's right. But you did was go down there with a little white piece of paper where every fortnight you put two jobs on. And then I remember in around the year 2000, so 2 years after 1998, this is all under the Howard government, that's when they brought in these books where you had to fill out 20 jobs every fortnight.
Ooh, that's quite a lot.
And I remember going, this isn't working for me. It's a not good thing. But I just wanted to mention too, it's a paraphrase, but I remember reading at the time of when the Howard government came in they said something on the lines is the welfare state is a failed experiment and we're going to shut it down. That was their thing. So this is the motive of privatisation.
Yeah. And we know, of course, that we only have some kind of benefits because people have fought for them in the past, gone on strike for them. And we know that the current sort of iteration of this system is a complete joke and is only there to extract profits from basically the cash cows, which are all the people who are signed on to the multiplicity of job service parasites.
That's right. That's right. And the job service parasites, the privatisation, I think, you know, can be linked also to the what they call the neoliberal paradigm, but it's kind of like neoliberal. It's kind of like going back to the 19th century workhouse type of mentality where you are punished if you're a poor person and also moving away from the welfare state, like having you do all the work for the dole, having maybe so-called non-governmental, non-profit organisations taking up the slack of what the government did provide. There was actually a discussion in the Reagan administration very clearly saying, we're gonna withdraw money. They wanted to cut taxes to rich people, and the other half of that is they're not going to spend money on social well-being, on having a security net. So what do? They say we're going to have all these people volunteering.
Yeah.
And this and they call that the third economy, which is their alternative to the social provision by authorities of well-being for people.
Well, good point, because in the old days in Australia, we know from the great documents in the Commons Library that you would have, if you were very short of money and desperate, you'd have these well-meaning ladies who were doing it out of their sort of patronising worldview who'd come into your house and say, what, you've still got some furniture, but you're asking us for money, sell that furniture. The same attitude. And I know also from living in the UK that there was a system, again, similar to what you were saying with the CES, where you had to come in once a fortnight and sort of sign on was the thing you had to do. But now they have moved right over to the privatised system, of course, with the fact that capitalism, as we know, is international. And they actually have learnt from the Australian system, and they have the same punitive setup.
Well, it's funny you reminded me then that, I don't know if people remember or if you weren't around at that time, John Howard was in pretty close cahoots, was friendly with the leadership of the Salvation Army. And if you've ever had the Salvation Army as a job network provider or parasite, they are horrible. The Starvation Army. And, you know, and this is also going back to this whole thing of charity, that we have to beg cap in hand just to get some food.
You have to prove yourself.
Yeah.
And now it's prove yourself by, you know, applying for hundreds of jobs and also having to do them online when you might not be across using a computer even.
Hey, do you think it's time for a community service announcement?
I think it is, Hank.
It is.
Has Centrelink made a decision you disagree with? Most Centrelink decisions can be appealed up to 3 times. Examples of decisions you can appeal include whether you're eligible for a payment, cancellation or suspension of your payment, how much you get paid, and Centrelink debts. One of the most common Centrelink decisions appealed are Centrelink debts. Centrelink will say you owe a debt if the staff determine you've been paid more than you should have. Debts can occur for a variety of reasons. In some instances, if there's been an administrative error or if you have special circumstances, you may not have to repay that debt. The appeal process is free, but time limits can apply and will affect your entitlement to back payment. Social Security Rights Victoria is a specialist community legal centre providing Victorians free advice to help you understand your Centrelink issues and the appeal processes. You can contact Social Security Rights Victoria on 9481 0355 or online at ssrv.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Well, dig that. That's Breadline for this week. We had speeches from the NDIS rally. Remember the big lean of the go to Melbourne Town Hall, 5 p.m. tomorrow. 5 p.m. tomorrow. That's for to protest against the treatment of homeless people by the Homeless People's Union, a great organisation, much needed. And we also just had a little talk there about so-called job network providers or parasites. And hey, look, it's time for me to have to get out of here. And coming up is Eritrean Voices. And I'll just leave you. We'll have a little tiny bit of Kanakuli Lubvir, 1963 songs by the Peanuts Sisters. Come.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.